But I just want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and to speak for and to share my thoughts from how the Scripture speaks to me on the parable of the Good Samaritan. It really is impactful and really powerful when you look at the good that the Samaritan's able to do here, and how he's able to overcome personal conflicts and religious conflicts, I guess, of what they had between them and the Jews, of what you see through the Scriptures. And, you know, what comes to your mind when you think of, when you hear the word Samaritan? For me, it's charitable organizations. You think of the Samaritan's Purse initially, because that's a religious organization that takes in donations and helps people all over the world. So fortunately, that's one of the first things I think of when I just hear the word Samaritan itself. Although I know here in this particular instance, we're talking about a Samaritan as a group of people, as a ethnicity, and so in this instance. But the word Samaritan, you know, has translated from the Bible, from this parable here, into what it is today, and it's being able to do good to those that are in distress, to those that are in need. And it's the definition of it is a person who is generous in helping those in distress. And fortunately, as Christian people, we should be able, this is one of our main objectives, because we want to help people. And that's what Jesus Christ's ultimate goal was, to help people. And so I hope as we go through this, we can. I know it's opened my eyes to a lot of new things, and it's continued to help me in these particular parts of my life. And it helps you to examine yourself every single day by reading these parables. I know Brother Bill's been able to go through the parables over the last couple of years, and he's really pointed out major factors of things to look for and what to watch out, what to look for, and how it speaks to us as Christians today in society. You know, oftentimes these charitable organizations, they raise thousands and thousands of dollars to help people in need. You know, but really the money is really the least important thing oftentimes, because really it's God's Word that ultimately helps us. It's the thing that brings us the joy and brings us our peace of mind that we have, and it's what entices us and moves us to want to help other people. Here in Luke 10:25 through verse 37 is the parable of the Good Samaritan. He starts off, Jesus said, the lawyer stands up. It says, a certain lawyer stood up, and he says that he tempted Jesus. Tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, so this was, and the word here that sticks out to me is the fact that he tempted him. And the lawyer tempts Jesus with this question to see what he would answer. But instead of answering it, instead of answering it with a fact or a statement, he answers it with another question. In verse 26, he says, what is written in the law? He says, how do you read it? Or how do you comprehend it? How do you see it? And what's referenced here is Deuteronomy 6 and 5. And although we see what Jesus' answer is throughout the New Testament of the Scripture, I like to go back and look at the Old Testament, because that's where our learning takes place. That's what was in existence when Jesus Christ was on the earth and teaching the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6 and 5, this is what it says. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. These words that I command you this day shall be in your heart. He says, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house. He says, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down at night, and when you rise up. He says in verse 8, he says, you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be the frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. what this means, to what this, how it speaks to me, is the fact that this should be the center of our life. This should be, Jesus Christ represents every single thing that we just read. He represents the fact that we love, that He showed us how to love our God with all our heart. He showed us how to love Him with all our soul and with all our might. And when you say with all your might, that's with every single ounce of energy that you have. That's with every single thing in your mind, every thought of every second of every day. That's what we as Christians should work towards implanting and putting into our life, is that that's all we want to think about. That's all we want to consume our minds around. That's all we want to consume our lives with, is the Word of God, because there's so much that goes on in society. There's so much going on in the world. And not that any of that stuff's bad, but this is the importance of how, of living for Jesus Christ and living for our God every single day. That's the importance of it, is that these words which I command you this day, He says, shall be in your heart. We should talk about these things with our children. We should talk about these things with each other. We should talk about these things with our co-workers, our friends, and our family. When we walk by and when we lie down, these are the things we should think about when we go to sleep at night, when we wake up, when we're running, when we're playing ball, when we're at work, when we're exercising, when we're dancing. Whatever it is that we do throughout the day, God's Word has some kind of impact in our life that can make a change and make us into a Christ-like man or woman, that we should strive every single day to be. So when he answered this, he says, if we put this these things into action of loving the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, as he answered in verse 27, and then he says, and thy neighbor as thyself as well. But if we put these things into action in our daily life, it allows us to think more like Christ. Think if more people live by this. Think of if most of the world, not even all the world, but if just the majority of the world lived by this, these verses here that we read in Deuteronomy. If they had that kind of action in their life, what kind of world would we live in? How much more would God love the world that He has built and that He has made with His hands if we all lived in love like this and we put out like we see that the Good Samaritan does in this parable? Love requires action. It's not just something that we feel or say, and we see that through Jesus' life. We see that it wasn't just that He told people He loved them. It wasn't just that He went by, gave them a hug, and gave them a kiss and said, I love you. It's the fact that He made them feel wanted. He made them feel loved by the things that He did. And He didn't justify His actions for anyone. And that plays a huge part in what we're going to talk about today in justification. Love requires action, and it's not just a feeling. But here in verse 28, Jesus said, He said unto him, He says, thou hast answered right. He says, this do and you shall live. And that's what I'm saying opening here, is that if we put these things into our action, we will live. We will live because we have Jesus Christ in us, which is, as a Christian, it's Christ-like. And if we live like He did, then there's no reason that we cannot be that good, portray the actions of the Good Samaritan every single day, and that we don't portray the actions of Jesus Christ. Remember, as Matthew 5, 13 and 14, Matthew 5, 13 and 14, He tells us that we're the light of the world. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He says, neither do I light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Imagine if people, like I said, if people live by these verses, we would see a lot more people's light shining, I feel like. I feel like there would be a whole lot more enthusiasm. There would be a whole lot more compassion. As we see that in verse 29, he says, but he willing to justify himself said, Jesus, who is my neighbor? And who is your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? What is that? When I think of neighbor, I think of my next door neighbor. I think of people across the street, all within a 1-2 mile proximity to me. Naturally, that's what I think about. But he's talking about here that our neighbor is anyone that we can help. Anyone that's in distress, anyone that's in need, anyone that we're in contact with in this world. Those people, anybody that we're around is our neighbor, and that's what I get from it. But the lawyer justifies his actions here in verse 29. He says, willing to justify himself, because he tries to justify himself by seeing how much could he do, not by how much could he do to help others, but it's the fact that he was trying to justify himself by how little he could get away with. How little he could get away with. How often in our lives have we done that at some point in our life? Not saying that we're like that now, but if we are, then it's something that we should definitely look at and pray about and act upon. You know, he says, who is my neighbor? Do we often question that in our own lives? You know, for example, if we're driving down the road and we see a car full of young ladies on the side of the road with a flat tire, we're going to be more off to stop and help them without even thinking about it. But if we see a car full of young men, maybe muscular, maybe strong, we look at them and maybe it's getting a little bit later in the day, we may think about, do they need as much help? Do they need the help that the women we saw back miles ago? You know, that's the plague of the flesh and blood in our life, is that that's how our minds naturally think. And that's why it's important every day, it's Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we transform our minds every day, as Brother Dave talked about last night, and that we're putting these good things into action, these good words of God into our lives on a daily basis. These are things that constantly are biting at our ankles, so to speak. These things we do, and the thing is that these things that we do for people are the things that we do out of love. We do it out of compassion for others, not because we're trying to earn a reward. You know, that's the difference between, you know, I know several good people, and I'm sure we all do. We all know really good people that would give you the shirt off their back. We know people that would go to the ends of this earth to help you. And they're not Christians. They're not Christians. So that plays a huge role to me in our lives, that these people that are really good, they're not going to receive the inheritance of eternal life, by the way I interpret and understand the Scriptures, if they've never been baptized into Jesus Christ and have put on Christ and are walking in the newness of life. That's the difference between being a Christian and being a good person. And I've heard it said that good people often have good intentions. But when your good intentions aren't put into action and understanding and obeying what God's commandments tell us to do, then really at the end of the day, it doesn't really do us any good whatsoever. It doesn't matter how much good we do if we're not in Jesus Christ. If we're not in Him, if we're not loving Him, if we're not loving His Word and indulging ourselves in it every single day. So we're going to go on, I'm kind of straight away a little bit, but I feel like it's important. But Jesus answered in verse 30, after he justified himself answering, who is our neighbor? He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He says, and fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, and leaving him half dead. Leaving him half dead. He says, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Says, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So we'll stop there for just a second. We see that what's been out so far is the fact of that we see a man that was in trouble. We see that he's been stripped, that he's been beaten, left for dead. We see the priest that came. He sees the man in distress. But he passed by on the other side. How often is it that we as Christian people, that we sometimes, we may see people that we know, or we see people that may need help or could use help, but we don't help them because of, maybe because of our time restraints, maybe because that there's going to be some kind of self-sacrifice that plays into the picture. Maybe it's because of fear. And that's possibly the thing here, that maybe because of fear, maybe the priest, maybe the Levite here, they saw that there was possibly fear of their own lives by stopping and helping this man that had been attacked. And maybe it's because of the lack of, maybe it's because of resources. Maybe we just think that we don't have the resources to completely help these people, so we're not going to lend them a hand because we can't fully help them in a way that they need, although we could do our part and maybe help them just a little bit, as we see maybe from the Good Samaritan on down. And these are things that have plagued my mind. These are things that I have overcome. These are things that I struggle with daily. These are things that I overcome daily. And as Christians, that's what it is. That's what it's about. It's a daily work. It's a daily progress. And it's a constant fight. Every single day that we fight, that we lean unto Jesus Christ, and that we lean unto His knowledge, His strength, and His passion, and His desire. You know, oftentimes, I missed this a while ago, but oftentimes, do we notice our neighbors? As he asked them, who is my neighbor? Do we notice our neighbors on a daily basis? Do we notice the people around us, of how they act, of how they carry themselves, of identifying people and maybe their tough times? Do we draw back from these people during their tough times? Do we kind of pull back and say, well, they're having a tough time right now, so I'm going to leave them alone? When ultimately we should probably draw ourselves nearer, just like when we struggle and we have problems, we should draw nearer to Jesus Christ. We should draw nearer to His love and His strength. Because me as myself, I've constantly found myself in years past that I drew myself away from Him during tough times, which is completely opposite of what most people do. But I've learned how to overcome that. But oftentimes I drew back from people during their tough times. Or do we find selfishness and fear to step in? Or do we allow selflessness and faith to overcome the selfishness and fear? And that's what we see here. Is it selfishness and fear that have overcome the priest and the Levite here to keep them from maybe stopping and helping and checking on this man that's been beaten half dead and left on the side of the road to die? He says that by chance, the priest came by when he saw him, he passed by on their side. The Levite, when he came, it says that he came and looked on him. So what I get from it is that he actually went over, he checked on him, but then he continued to pass on by because he didn't think that he had the resources or the time to put in the effort to help him. Because it says that he came and looked on him. So that tells me that he came close enough to check on him. And that he still didn't take a moment to even bandage him up, to ask him if he needed anything, to spare a moment. But then we see in verse 33, we see a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. He came where he was. He says, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. And that plays a huge role in our lives today. When we're passionate about something, that's our top priority. I was in the Lions Club for many years and to help people with their sight, to help people with people that couldn't see or couldn't afford vision insurance, couldn't afford to buy glasses, couldn't afford to pay to have their vision checked. That's what their Lions Club ultimate goal was, is to help with those kind of people. So what we did, we raised money, we did all kinds of fundraisers, and we helped people like that. And so that was my passion for a long time, was being able to, and that's what helped me to really understand how much people needed help and how I could be more of an impact in my community by helping those that maybe were less fortunate. You know, it's not that I have all the money in the world. It's not that I have, that I'm the smartest person in the world. But it's the fact that I used the resources that I had to help those few people that needed it more than I, that needed it and could not afford it, could not help it, could not help their situation. And this is the deal with this man that's been attacked. This is the man that's been stripped. He was beaten, left for dead. He couldn't help his situation. But here we have a Samaritan that has stopped. And as we know from John, the fourth chapter, the woman at the well, that the Jews and Samaritans had no dealings with one another. Jews and Samaritans had no dealings with another. And from this man that he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho would tell me that this man was, should have been, of the Jewish descendant. But as he passed by, he had compassion on him. You know, compassion is what really provokes us to want to be better stewards. Compassion is what provokes us to be better brothers and sisters. Because if I have compassion for you, if I have compassion for Jesus Christ, I'm going to fill my life with the words of God that has spoken to us. And as we read this every day, we have to put ourselves into this word and take it as we're talking with God, because He's talking to us through His word. That's the importance of living a Christian life and to growing daily, is that we're compassionate about what God has done for us and about what Jesus Christ was able to do for us. And the Samaritan here, he had compassion on him in that way that he did, that he put off the misfortune of Jews and Samaritans not having dealings with one another because of maybe their religious practices, maybe of their marital situations, or whatever it was. But he tended to him medically, it says. It says that he went, he bound him up on his wounds. He poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast. So it says that he tended to him. He loaded the man on his own beast that either he was riding or his supplies were riding upon. And he walked. He walked. Now, I know typically a lot of people in those times, they used their this was their transportation to haul in things, was by camel, horse, whatever it is that he's speaking about here. But they used things to carry their supplies. So did this man put this man that was beat and dead, this Jew that was possibly on his own and carry all his supplies and walk beside him? And that's a huge sacrifice. That is a huge sacrifice. If you've ever had to walk miles and miles, or if you've run miles and miles, you know what it's like to have to go without being able to sit down or to ride on something. It says then he went on, and not only did he wrap his wounds up, and not only did he transport him to somewhere to out of harm's way, but he brought him to an inn, and it says he took care of him. It says that he took care of him. And then on tomorrow it says when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host of the inn, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend more of, he says, when I come again, he says, I will repay you. I mean, that's huge. This is a man that he had never met. This is that we know of. This is someone that he had never met and didn't know, and that he has went out of his way to take all these things out of play, the facts that these people had nothing to do with one another, or at least from the Jew standpoint, dealing with the Samaritans, they had no point of dealing with them. He gave them comfort. He showed them compassion. And the Samaritan may not have had all the resources that he needed. He may not have had every single resource, but he made use of what he did have. He didn't excuse himself for helping in this situation when he saw this man laying nearly dead on the side of this road. He did not excuse himself. But then he goes on, Jesus goes on to tell him, he says, "Which now of these three do you think was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" He says, he said, "The one that showed mercy on him." The one that showed mercy on him. When I define mercy, he says, it's a kind of forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. It's also a kindness or help given to people who are in a very bad, desperate situation. And to me, by reading this, by the few details that it does give us, that the kindness to help or to given to people who are in a bad, very bad or desperate situation, I feel like this fits this man. That he was, that the Good Samaritan showed mercy on him. And what this ties to for me is the mercy that Jesus Christ, or that God has showed unto us. Although we didn't deserve it, although we may have been in a bad situation, He still showed mercy on us. Because we were without forgiveness, we were without hope before the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on Calvary. Ultimately, Jesus Christ continues to show us mercy every single day. Because every day we walk through this life, we're given challenges. We're tested every single day with tribulations, with troubles, with people all around us that always use our help. And not just use our help, but use the help of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, that's where the biggest need comes from in society, is that we don't keep our religion, keep our love for Christ to ourselves. But like I started in Matthew 5, that we let our light so shine. We let Jesus Christ shine so bright in our lives that people see what we have. People see that it's not about who they are, but it's about who we are in Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes we struggle. One of the biggest things I feel like as a Christian I struggle with is, And I've been in the situation myself personally. And growing up, I fought with drugs and alcohol and sin in this world. And today, I still look at people that had that struggle with addiction, that really, really struggle with addiction, that can't get off of it. And it's like sometimes I step back and I'm like, why do I not do more for these people that I could identify with from my mistakes that I made, and by the repentance that I have through Jesus Christ, that He's given me a whole new walk and a whole new life and a whole new outlook? Why do I not use my knowledge and my wisdom to help these people more? And this is what I struggle with. And this is what Jesus Christ has ultimately given me, is the fact that He gave me mercy in a time that I was desperate. He showed me mercy when I was in a really bad situation and state of mind in my life. And He also showed me that the forgiveness that I needed in my life. Just like we see here, we see that the Samaritan was able to help this man when two other people of his own possible religious background, when they passed by, because maybe it was their time, maybe it was the fact that they didn't want to use any self-sacrifice. I think as a Christian, I think that's what we have to do. We have to sacrifice something in our life every single day for Jesus Christ. This is the kind of compassion that God has showed unto us. So why would it not be up to us that we show this kind of compassion to Jesus? To the fact that He died for us, to the fact that He gave His life for us, the fact that He left us a wonderful example to read, a wonderful example to follow. You know, oftentimes we worry about persecution, maybe we worry about how we'll be persecuted if we're involved in a certain situation. But that's why it's called sacrifice. That's why it's important that we understand that that what Jesus Christ did for us is ultimate sacrifice. So the things that we face in this life is nowhere near as bad as what He did for us. And so the questions I ask, do we notice our neighbors? How often do we notice our neighbors? How often do we notice people in need and that we turn a blind eye to it? Or maybe we just turn a blind eye because we don't feel like we have time. Do we draw back from people during tough times? These are things that I feel like as Christians that sometimes I may not, always put 100% into. And these are things that have helped me to see how I can improve my Christian life. I've always worked out during the day at work during my lunch break, and so it was filling up all my time that I had. So I had to reorganize my schedule so that now I can use that time for something better, because that's how Jesus has spoken to me through the study of this parable, is the fact that use my time more wisely. Use my resources more wisely, and use and be more of a selfless individual and rely more on my faith. Rely more on my faith of what Christ, of how we should live for Him, of how we should want to live for others, so that others will follow Jesus Christ. Because ultimately that's our goal at the end of the day, is that we want Christ to get the glory. We want all the glory to go to God. We want all those to inherit the gift of eternal life by loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. So these are my thoughts. Once again, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the ability to be here. And turn it over to the mic.